Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. It's a great privilege to stand before you to preach Word of God. I would like to thank God who gave this opportunity to share His Word. And also I would like to Pastor Sammy who gave privilege to come here to participate in CCC ministry. Thank you, Pastor Sammy Williams. People used to make friendship with the nice people, with friends, well-wishers of them. The amazing truth is, holy, righteous God wants to make a companion with sinners to save them and adopting them as His children by pouring His eternal compassion on them. He saves sinners from India, from America, from all parts of universe. There is no partiality with God. He can save any person in His purpose. But the truth is this. He is not only the God of salvation for Israel, but also for the pagan Gentiles. This sermon will remind how God saves and how loving, merciful God He is. Maybe you ask, will God forgive me? Will God save me by knowing my condition as a sinner, as a wicked person? Yes, you can ask. So what is today's message for me? You will know how God amazingly saved you. How God showed His mercy on you so that you may worship. You may bow down before Him as we are singing in the morning. To see this, open your Bible. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. It is a minor prophet. It is in not New Testament. It is in Old Testament. It is beside Micah. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, "At 40 days, the Nineveh will be overthrown." Then people of Nineveh believed in God. They called fast and put on sackcloth from greatest to the least of them. When the word reached to the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, or say it, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands." Verse 9, who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. Verse 10, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. The theme of this passage, the great passage, we can say the amazing salvation of the sinners. Amazing salvation of the sinners. Look at verse 1 says, The word of the Lord came to Jonah second time, and he said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim it." God said to Jonah to proclaim the judgment of God. Then verse 4, we can see here. Then Jonah began to go through the city one day's walk, and he cried out, said, "At 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown." Then we can see verse 10. After Jonah's preaching of judgment of God, then verse 10, the God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way. Then God relented concerning the calamity. So based on this, we can see clearly God saved these sinners, these wicked people. So the amazing salvation of these sinners by God alone, we can clearly see in this passage. Three amazing actions of God that saves the sinners. Three amazing actions of God that saves the sinners. First amazing action of God that saves the sinner is, He declares His judgment on the sinners. He declares His judgment on the sinners. We can see verse 1. Look at verse 1. The word of the Lord, the word of the Yahweh came to Jonah the second time. He said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." Then verse 4, Jonah, he obeyed. He began to go through the city and he proclaimed, he preached, what? At 40 days, the Nineveh will be overthrown. So, we can clearly understand the God, Yahweh, He is declaring His judgment on the sinners so that He may save. So that He may save. Two means of declaring His judgment. The God did not do secret. He will share His judgment definitely. He won't punish sinners suddenly without informing him. The God is great God, merciful God. Before He destroys that person, that sinner, He will give His judgment. He will declare what He is going to do them if they are not repent. You can see here two means of declaring His judgment. The first mean of declaring His judgment is by commanding the preacher. By commanding the preacher. We see God commanded Jonah, verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city." This is second time. Because first time He commanded the prophet, verse chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This is second time. He is the Lord who commands His prophet, the preachers, to preach His righteous judgment on sinners. He is saying to Jonah, right now, immediately, you go to Nineveh. He is commanding. Why? He said, rise. Maybe he is sitting and thinking, should I go or not? Because he has the habit, he should not want to go and preach Ninevites. So God, again, second time, rise, go and preach the judgment of them, judgment of me. The Lord said that Nineveh is a great city. We can see here, 3 days walk off to cover the city. Normally, man can walk 20 miles. You know that? One man can walk 20 miles. So, this is 3 days distance we can walk through the Nineveh city. So, based on that, the city must be 60 miles. 1,20,000 small children, according to chapter 4, verse 11. And Bible teacher says that approximately 6 lakhs people are living in that city. So, God is declaring His judgment on this great city. Yahweh is commanding the preacher to proclaim the judgment of Nineveh, that He is going to destroy these wicked people. Why? Why He wants to destroy? Why He is telling to Jonah to go and preach judgment of me I am going to destroy. We can see clearly, chapter 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2, he said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." They are wicked people. They are not obeying to the God. They are wicked people. So God is sending his prophet to declare his judgment on these people. They are worshippers of the fish godness. We can say Nyanchi, the god of fresh water. Dagon, the fish, who was represented as a half man and a half fish. They used to worship fish. So Yahweh is angry about them because they are not worshipping true God. They are worshipping idols. So he is going to destroy, he declaring through the prophet. God usually commands preacher, prophet. He commanded Isaiah. He commanded all kind of prophets. Jeremiah, Amos, Obadiah, Haggai. We can say God used to command preacher to deliver his word. To deliver his word. So that people may believe in him. People may turn from their sins. God declares his judgment to the sinners through the obedience of the people. God used to command. The second mean of declaring his judgment is through the obedience of the preacher. Through the obedience of the preacher. Look at verse 3 says, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Yahweh." Now Nineveh was exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. He obeyed. Finally, he obeyed. He went. He preached. At 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Actually, he is not obedient preacher. God made him obedient. We know chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 4 said, actually, he wants to flee from God to Tarshish. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. We know this is familiar story. Familiar history, you know that. Everybody knows. But God made him to be obedient to him. Verse 7, what he has done? Verse 4, "The Lord sent great wind on sea and great storm on the sea." Again, what happened? They throwed him into the sea, ocean. Then verse 17 of chapter 1, "The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the stomach of fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then what happened? He commanded fish. It omitted Jonah upon to dry land. See, to make his preacher obedient, he has done these things. He has done miracles which were written in book of Jonah. So God makes a person, a preacher, a prophet to be obedient so that he may preach his ordinance, so that he may preach word of God, people may get saved. People may get saved. So we can see he is preaching at 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. He obedient, he preached. The meaning of overthrown is the expression of God's anger and wrath upon unrepented people. The God is going to destroy, pour out his wrath on Nineveh because they are unrepented people, rebellious people, wicked people. The same word used in Genesis chapter 19. The God overthrown the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. We can see clearly the destruction of the Sodom and Gomorrah. Here God is going to destroy Nineveh, same like Sodom and Gomorrah. The same word used here. God does this even to the Israel if they are disobedient. He doesn't have any partiality. Those who are rebellious, those who are disobeying to him, definitely he will show his judgment. He will show his judgment. We can see Proverbs chapter 12, verse 7 says, "The wicked are overthrown, are no more." God cannot tolerate with wicked people. We can say Haggai chapter 2 verse 22 says, I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms, destroy the power of kingdoms of the nations. I will overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders will go down, everyone by the sword of another. See, we can see God is going to judge anybody who is wicked, who is living a life against him. So, to preach this sermon, to preach this judgment, he made Jonah obedient. God declares his judgment to the sinners through the obedience of the preacher. They were converted. See, what is the preaching here? What he preached? Just he said, at 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. He did not preach anything, just these lines he preached. One day I was preaching a gospel. I said, brothers and sisters, don't believe Jesus Christ so that he may give something in your life on the earth. But believe in Jesus because of your sinner, he is going to judge you. Then after that, one lady said, if you preach like this, nobody comes to Christ. We have to tell some stories. God will heal you. God will do something. See, she told me, I will be silent. I did not talk to her. Because we can see clearly here, Jonah preached, hello Ninevites, God will give something. God will give car, bungalows, buildings. God will give, heal you. He did not say anything. Just he said, at 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. God is going to judge you within 40 days. After 40 days, he just said that. The people converted, you know, after story, what happened. See, word of Christ, word of the Lord will change the people. Whatever it is, whatever God tells to us, if preacher proclaim it, the God will do something. God will do miracle. He saves the sinners. We can say clearly. Jonathan Edwards was a great preacher. He preached one sermon, I heard, 6 hours. You know that sermon, eh? The sinners in the hands of an angry God. While he was preaching that sermon, the people were screaming, terrified. Then he had to stop and calm, let everyone down, and he continued on sermon. Everybody is crying, screaming, Lord, forgive us. See, he did not preach, God will give that one, this one, that one. But he preached, God is going to judge you. He preached on hell, God's judgment. See, brothers and sisters, God will work through his word, whatever it is. God uses declaring his judgment as a tool to save the sinners. As a tool to save the sinners. Brothers and sisters, if God is declaring judgment, he wants to you to turn to him. You are not better than Nineveh people. You know who you are. If you are a sinner, God is going to judge you according to his judgment. If one preacher, one pastor, he is standing and preaching God's judgment, that itself is saying that you have to repent. That preaching is telling to you, Listen, brothers and sisters. That preaching is telling to you, please repent. God is welcoming you in his kingdom when he is preaching his judgment. That thing happened here. That thing happened here. God does not have any partiality. If God destroyed all human beings except Noah's family, if God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, definitely he will destroy you. If you won't confess your sin, if you won't go to the Christ, a refuger, one who saves you, God will do his judgment on you. But remember, I want to encourage you, whenever God is declaring his judgment, that is welcome to you to come to his kingdom. He wants to make his child. Second amazing action of God to save the sinners is He starts his saving work in the sinners. He starts his saving work in the sinners. Look at verse, we can see verse 5 to 9. We can understand this truth. Verse 5, then the people of Nineveh believed in him. Verse 6, when the word reached to the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him. He covered himself with the sackcloth, sat on ashes. Do you see? The God's saving work in the sinners. He started. See, we can see that four evidences of saving work of God in the sinners. Four evidences of saving work of God in the sinners. The first evidence of saving work of God in the sinners is they believed in God. That is the evidence. God is doing something in their life. That is the evidence. First evidence, they believe in the God. You can say verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed in God. They have trusted in God. Abraham became righteous, right? How? Through this trust, through the faith. The same word used in Genesis chapter 15 verse 6. Then he believed in the Lord. He reckoned it to him as a righteous. Abraham became righteous man because of his faith, because of his trust in God. How Abraham trusted God? These Ninevites trusted God. This is the work of God. This is talking about regeneration. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. They believed in idols, fish gods, but not in God who created universe, who created sea and fishes. But after they believed in God, this is a great miracle God has done in sinners. Is it right? Yes. But this is a miracle, I am saying. Why? No man can seek God. No man can want God. Lord, I want to love you. I want to see you. I want to trust you. No man seek God because of his sinful nature. We can clearly understand Psalm chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together, they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Not even one. Nobody wants to seek God. Everybody turned. But here, the Ninevites believed in God. That is the miracle. God works in them. He gave that faith. You know, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the faith is the gift. God gave that gift to believe in him. God made them righteous people. It is very real to ourselves. God gave faith to us. We did not get that faith ourselves. God regenerated us. The second evidence of saving work of God in the sinners is they repented of their sins. Not only they believed in God, they repented of their sins. Verse 5, part B. They called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Those who heard the judgment of God, they called a fast and put on sackcloth. This is showing their repentance. The fasting is referring that they have sorrow and mourning for something. Sackcloth is a piece of clothing worn by the people in the times of sorrow and mourning. So we can clearly understand the people of Ninevites, they have repentance. They are repenting. They are crying for their sins. They became humble before God, the judge. True faith is always produced the repentance. There are common people in that. There are great people in that. But we can see very interesting thing that God has done, verse 6. When the word reached to the king of Nineveh, he rose his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with the sackcloth and sat on the ashes. Actually, Jonah preached one day distance of Nineveh. Finally, the word of Yahweh reached to king who sat on the throne. God even mercy on king. In result of that, even king himself humbled himself and repented. See, we can understand, he rose from his throne. Can you see that word? He rose from his throne. He accepted that, brothers and sisters. He accepted that he is nothing beside the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even though I am king, but I have my king, the Lord, Yahweh, true God. He rose from his throne. He is not thinking he is king. Just he broken. This is true repentance, right? Humbling himself. Throwing his privilege and the authority and bowing before the true king, the true God. He covered himself with the sackcloth and sat on the ashes. He laid aside his kingly robe from him. His majesty, his kingly robe, he threw out. Just he took sackcloth. That means he is sorrowful. He is crying over sins. Maybe he is praying, Lord, even though I am king, I am a sinner. You are going to judge me. I am also going to be judged by you. Please forgive me. He is praying. He is crying. He is repenting of his sins. Then he see how he said, verse 7, he issued a proclamation and said, in Nineveh, by the decree of king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. He became like a preacher. He used his authority for God's glory. And he is commanding his people to repent. Please repent. This is a king who declared the decree. Everyone should repent of their sins. We can see clearly the repentance of the Ninevites. He decreed man, beast, herd, flock should not eat, because it is a Nineveh tradition to use animals in their mourning ceremonies. That is their culture. Nothing to do with animals, but they have a culture. Their beasts, their animals should not eat if they are not eating, if they are crying. So totally the Nineveh city, the people, the repenting of their sins. We know Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Now on the 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dirt on them. The descendants of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins, the iniquities of their fathers. Whenever they wore sackcloth, that itself showing they are confessing their sins. Why they are confessing? Because God has done that work in them. God started the saving works in them. Before they did not repent, before they are rebellious, suddenly God changed their heart. God regenerated them. Then they are repenting on their sins. They are repenting on their sins. God usually do that. God only saves, not only saves poor people, common people, he used to save the rich people also, the great people also, because they are also men. He has compassion on rich people also. He has compassion on king also. The best example is Nebuchadnezzar, who is a king, powerful king, but God saved him also. The Nebuchadnezzar, he repented himself. He came to know about himself. He said, Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, he said, But end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom. Verse 37, he said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. See, he is a prideful man. God made him humble. Then he declared his salvation. Chapter 4 of Daniel is a testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. We can see this king in heaven because he repented. God worked in Nebuchadnezzar. God worked in king of Assyrians. God worked in normal, common people. Because of him, they were all repenting. Brothers and sisters, most of us experienced this kind of thing. Most of you repented of your sins. God has done in your life. But maybe some of you are not repenting of your sins. See, who are you? Nebuchadnezzar, the king, repents of his sins. The Assyrian's king, the king of Nineveh, repents of his sin, throwing his throne and take away his majestic robe. He repented, he humbled himself. Who are you? Who are you in front of King of Kings and Lord of Lords if he is going to judge you? You should bow before him. You should repent. After finishing, don't cry here. Go and close your door and cry. Lord, forgive me. Please give me strength. Please forgive me. You cry like a baby. Because king is crying like baby. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. We should have that repentance. Jesus told that. Matthew chapter 5 verse 4. We know that. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you have true faith, definitely you will repent of your sins. You don't play with your sins, brothers and sisters. Even though you are Christians, if you are not living according to the word of God, please repent. This is not only for unbelievers. This is believers also. If you are not living according to the word of God, please repent. God will forgive you. The third evidence of saving work of God in the sinners is they depended on God. They depended on God. Look at verse 8. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. Let men call on God earnestly. This is the decree of King of Nineveh. He declared that, he commanded that everyone must call on God. So that is talking about prayer. That is talking about dependence on God. For what? Two things that he depended on God. Two things that they depended on God. The first thing is to turn from their wicked ways. To turn from their wicked ways. Look at verse 8 says, let men all call on God earnestly. That means sincerely, seriously. That each may turn from his wicked way. They are wicked people. We can clearly understand what is their wickedness in Nahum, book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 14. It says like this, the Lord has issued a command concerning you, I will cut off idol and image from the house of your gods. This is the small indication that they are idol worshippers. They used to worship idols. So that is their wickedness, not following God and following idols. Then Nahum chapter 3 verse 1 says, oh to the bloody city. So they are bloody city. They are violent people. They kill human beings. Then verse 4 he says, Nahum chapter 3 verse 4 he says, all because of the many harlotries of harlot, the charming one, mistress of sorceries, who sells nations by her harlotries and families by her sorceries. This is their wickedness. These are their sins. So here they are praying, they are depending on God to turn from their wickedness. Second thing that they depended on God is to turn from their violence. Not only wickedness, from their violence. You can see verse 8, part B. Let men call on God earnestly that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Actually, Ninevites, I have told you one time, the Ninevites were terrible in the way they treated their enemies. They beheaded the elders of people. They conquered all, collected up those heads. And sometimes placed a captive leaders in cage, treating him animal. Often they impaled their captives, thus giving them painful death. Other times they stretch out their legs and hands to give a severe pain to them and skinned him alive. They skinned and they will kept in under the sun. These people are very violent people. They used to treat their enemies like this. So that's why they are praying what? They are praying what? To turn from their violence. Here king is issued the decree. Every should call on God earnestly. They have done this according to verse 10. They turn from this wickedness. They turn from this violence. Brothers and sisters, God saved you by his grace. But you should turn from evil ways, whichever you have. What are the evil and violence sins you do? You should turn from this. Look your heart. Call on God for the strength to live holy life. Brothers and sisters, pray for church so that church members may turn from their wicked ways, sinful ways. Because God does not please with sins. As a brothers and sisters, we should pray for one another. Lord, we are praying this Cornerstone Community Church should live holy life. We should live the wicked life, evil life, sinful life. We should live holy life. You know, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Verse 2, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So God, Paul is encouraging us to live holy life. We should turn from our sinful nature. I don't know what is your sinful attitude, but you know, God knows. I'm begging you, please, it is very dangerous in your life to have wickedness, sinfulness. God may help you to come from it. Please depend on him. Please pray so that he may help you. The fourth evidence of the saving work of God in the sinners is they hoped in God. Not only they believed, they repented, depended on God, and also they hoped in God. Look at verse 9 says, who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. King had a hope that God may turn, withdraw his burning anger. They know that God can destroy. So they are repenting. They know that God may give mercy to them. God may withdraw his anger, burning anger. Hoping in God, brothers and sisters, hoping in God is a great thing. Hoping that he is gracious and loving. So these three evidences, four evidences we have seen in Ninevites. They believed, they repented, they depended on God for holy life. Finally, they hoped God is going to save them. Absolutely, this is the work of God. This is the saving work of God. He declares his judgment so that he may start his saving work in the sinners. That thing happened in this passage. God is so good in our life. It is very clear. It is very true with us. Everybody was saved through him. God may get glory through Ninevites, through CCC. The third amazing action of God to save the sinners is he grants his forgiveness to the sinners. He grants his forgiveness to the sinners. Look at verse 10 says, when the Lord saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then the Lord relented concerning the calamity. Here we can see the two gracious aspects of forgiveness. Two gracious aspects of forgiveness. The first gracious aspect of forgiveness is He changes their hearts. He changes their hearts. See, clearly we can see God saw their deeds. They are doing good work. They turn from wickedness because of God. Because God has done saving work in them, they were changed. They were changed. They turned from their wicked way. God is the one who changes the hearts of the people. We are now new creation, right? Ninevites became new creation. They should listen God's word. They can walk according to the word of God because God changed their hearts. I know one story, a real incident. Two pastors, they were invited to preach one meeting. Then after finishing that meeting, two went and they were provided by one room. One preacher is crying. One preacher is crying. Why you are crying? Then that preacher said, see here, golds were there, golds. Then money were there. If I am not a believer, I would steal these things. Because he is a robber who steals, who steals the idol crown. That kind of robber he was. Whatever he sees, he robbed. But now God saved him by his grace. Now he totally changed. He is sharing his testimony. If God did not save me, if God did not change my life, I would steal. That kind of person I am. See, we can see clearly in your life also. How many bad things you are doing before. But now you are not doing those things because God has done his saving works. He changed your heart. Second gracious aspect of forgiveness is he removes his judgment. He removes his judgment. Look at verse 10, part B. Then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. He did not do it. The origin of the root of the relent seems to reflect the idea of breathing deeply. We can say relent is be sorry of one's own doings. Man can repent because he is a sinner. Man's repentance is turn from sin to God. God is free from sin. But here, relent, the changes his dealings with men according to his sovereign purpose. Repenting, changing is figurative expression that communicates man on his level of understanding. Man cannot understand God. God never changed, brothers and sisters. His character, his nature, his purpose, his will never change. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 29 says, also the glory of Israel will not lie, the change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Psalm chapter 110 chapter verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. From man's limited, earthly, finite perspective, it appears that God's purposes have changed. No. No. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 8 says, if that nation against which I have spoken turn from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring on it. Exodus chapter 32 verse 14, so the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do to his people. This is not talking about God has changed, but God is speaking in the way which man can understand. Man can understand. Here, simple meaning, relent is, God did not give judgment them, but granted them grace, mercy, instead of his wrath. You understand, God is wrathful. God is merciful, loving. So, instead of giving his judgment on them, he gave his mercy. That is the simple we can understand relent means. Instead of giving his wrath, he gave his mercy. We cannot question him. Whatever he wants, he do. Instead of judgment, he gave his mercy. That is the simple answer. The Jonah chapter 4 verse 1 and 2. He said, who God is? He understood who God is. See, chapter 4 verse 1 and 2. Chapter 4 verse 1 and 2. But it greatly displeased Jonah and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, please Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that, listen, you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Jonah, he understood who God is. This God is so good, so gracious. If I go and preach, instead of giving wrath, he will show his mercy. I don't want that. That's why he ran away from him. But he came. But idea is here. God, instead of giving wrath, he gave his mercy. That is the idea we can see. Some people, they have a YouTube channel. They used to say, what? Are these Christians, they used to say God is so loving. God forgives, God loves, even though robber, adulterous, and killing small babies, how he forgives? Why he is forgiving? Because he is like that person. They used to criticize gospel. They used to criticize God. They did not read Bible properly. They don't know full truth properly. See, God is not unjust to forgive a murder. To forgive a wicked people. See, he forgived by his grace. But he has judged Jesus Christ instead of us. He is not unjust, brothers and sisters. Instead of judging sinner, he judged his beloved son. His beloved son. He sent his one and only son to the cross. Why did he not judge them? Because he is going to judge his beloved son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We know Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was pierced through the for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we were healed. Verse 6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. God did not judge Ninevites. He showed mercy because after 700 years later, approximately, he is going to judge his son. That's why he lived them. That's why he saved them. He is not unjust God. He definitely punished the sins and sinners. But instead of punishing sinners, by God's grace, his loving, he punished his son. That's why we are having communion, right? You know, Romans chapter 5, 8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus paid price for sinners. Jesus paid price for us. He bore our sins. That's why God saved us. That's why God saved us. Brothers and sisters, praise God for he prepared the Lamb of God for us before the foundation of the world. You should remember the cross work of Christ while you are participating the communion. You should praise. Most of you coming to church on time, but some people are coming too late. They are not worshipping. If you understand God saved you, you will come with joy to sing songs, to praise God. You should not late all the time. This is not legalistically I'm saying. If it is urgent, that's fine. But habitually coming late, worshipping Christ, not worshipping Christ, that is not good, brothers. If you understand God saved you in Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do that. We have seen the amazing salvation of sinners. I was reading the book, John G. Patton, biography by John Piper. That book name is John G. Patton, You Will Be Eaten by Cannibals. That is the title. John G. Patton and his wife came to Aniwa in November 1866. The natives were cannibals, occasionally ate the flesh of their defeated enemies. They practiced infant widow sacrifice, killing widows of dead men so that they could serve their husband in another world. Their feeling. They worshipped evil spirits of dead, through their material idols of wood and stone. But John G. Patton, he did not give up. He learned the language, writing. They both of them trained the teachers, translated, printed, expounded scripture. They held worship service every Lord's Day, sent native teachers to all the villages to preach the gospel. Next 15 years, brothers and sisters, John and his wife Patton, Mrs. Patton, saw the entire island of Aniwa turn to Christ. Years later, he wrote, I claimed Aniwa for Jesus, and by the grace of God, Aniwa now worships at Savior's feet. Our God is amazing, who saves worst sinners, wicked sinners, through Christ, in Christ. God may help us to see His amazing salvation all the day in our life. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a God You are, loving Savior You are. Lord, we are sinners. There is no good in us, Lord, but in Christ You saved us. Thank You so much, Lord, for giving salvation, eternal salvation. Lord, help us to worship You, bow down before You, have a sense of thanksgivingness to You, Lord. Lord, bless this church. Lord, thank You so much for saving all of us. Lord, we are praying, save other sinners through our preaching, through our life, by Your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.